living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
We're going to talk about the ancestral diet and what exactly is ancestral eating. A lot of research looking into these different types of diets. There's even a website or a group called the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, and you can go on their site and you can look at all these different diets and what's the psychology behind them, the history behind them. I'm here with Dr. David Clayton. He's a physician, fitness instructor, wellness expert devoted to helping high-performing individuals invest in their own health. His fitness-centered approach to medicine incorporates the latest research on fitness and nutrition to help clients measurably improve their health without resorting to medications. He is board-certified in internal medicine. He holds an MBA from Columbia University and is currently on the medical staff at Scribbs Memorial Hospital in one of the most beautiful cities in the world, La Jolla, California. Dr. Clayton, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
So you're about the second or third doctor I've had on from La Jolla, and I'm always very jealous when I talk to people from that part of California. Let's talk a little bit about what your inspiration was for what you do. I think it's interesting, you know, your focus is really helping people to remain healthy without medications. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure. You know, I've had the same experience that many of my colleagues have had for my 15 years in practice, which is that when somebody comes to me and says, hey, I really don't want to be taking medication for blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, and I want to do this all naturally with just diet and exercise, I really don't have any tools to offer them to help them on that journey. So too many of us in practice are saying, good luck with that, eat better, exercise more, and I'll see you back in 6 months. And a lot of times that's a really tough place for the patient to be in because they're going out there and we are looked at as the experts when it comes to health, and that includes fitness and nutrition. And yet when we abdicate responsibility for those because of time or lack of knowledge, our patients are going out and they're seeing a crowded shelf of books at Barnes & Noble, a lot of conflicting messaging on diet, and the fitness industry, there's a lot of good people out there in fitness, but it's very hit or miss. So, you know, for somebody to come back after 3 or 6 months of futile effort and then have us put them on medication, a lot of us look at it as a failure on the patient standpoint, but what I did was I said, you know, maybe it's because there's just not enough structure and a goal-oriented, comprehensive approach to fitness and nutrition that can get somebody off of medications and reverse chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And rather than put it on the patient, let's put it on me. And this is why I'm taking this call from a office right outside the fitness floor where me and my trainers are working all day long, keeping people healthy without using any medication.
Yeah, that's nice. That's awesome. And I think you're correct. I'm guilty of that myself, Dr. Clayton. You know, there's times when, even with my own family members, well, you know, you got to eat better, Dad. What does that really mean to me? You know, that doesn't, I don't even know if I know what that means. So let's talk about eating better. Let's talk about what you're calling or what some people call ancestral eating or the ancestral diet. What exactly, in just a real simple sentence or two, what is the ancestral diet?
So the ancestral diet looks at nutrition from an evolutionary standpoint and saying that most of the disease that we see today is a consequence of us being outside of our natural habitat. And our natural habitat is the way we lived until about 10,000 years ago when we started changing our own food supply. So now about 70% of the calories in a modern American, even a healthy diet, come from foods that were not on that ancestral dinner table. So how can we expect to be healthy if we are so far removed from the foods and the environment that shaped our bodies over millions of years to be the way that we are today?
That's interesting. So you're saying 70%, let me make sure I get this right. So 70% of what I eat today really wasn't around, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever years ago. And that is, so my body was based on a certain types of foods from the past that I'm not eating today. So I'm eating stuff today that my body didn't use to evolve to where I'm at. Is that basically what we're saying?
That's exactly what we're saying. And I like to use the analogy of the zookeeper when I'm explaining this. And I think it really hits home in a way that's intuitive to most of us, that if I pulled a tiger out of the African savanna and put him in a cage and fed him cornmeal all day long, which isn't on a tiger's ancestral diet, then tiger wouldn't do so well. They want to run. They want to eat meat. They're carnivores. Not that we are, but they are. And we know here in San Diego, we've got one of the most fantastic zoo systems on the planet.
Right.
And we spend $250 million each year tricking tigers and pandas into believing that they're back in their homeland. And it's a way to rescue animals from extinction. It's a way to keep them healthy. And what works, what's intuitive for a zookeeper, should be intuitive for humans, too.
So what are some of the foods that I might eat today that weren't part of my diet 10,000 years ago?
So the advice I give my patients is, and this is what makes this so actionable right away, anybody listening to this broadcast can put this to use right away, is to say, if you couldn't make dinner or breakfast with a rock and a stick, it probably wasn't on that ancestral dinner table. And I'll give you a couple of examples, is even foods that we think are healthy, like a gluten-free pasta or whole grain bread, anything with sugar, processed carbohydrates, even rice on the was not on that menu. So, you know, the grains, the sugars, the dairy, none of that was on the ancestral dinner table. And then we start adding in other additions to the diet, such as alcohol or salt, and you can see how much of our current diet really wasn't available to our ancestors.
So how does this, okay, just to make sure we're helping the listener distinguish between the ancestral diet plan versus, say, something like the paleo diet. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference, or are they essentially the same thing?
So I've seen people do really amazing things with paleo. And there is a lot of great science behind the paleo diet, which, for our listeners, refers to the Paleolithic period, which predates the agricultural era and which marks a landmark in our human evolution when Homo sapiens walked the earth. During this time, our diet was a certain percent meat from free-range animals, of course, vegetables, nuts, fruits, and was pretty much it. So there wasn't really much else around then that we could eat, so that's what our diet consisted of. Now, where people get paleo wrong is in its modern adaptation. So we tend to make it a meat-centric diet and very heavy on the fat, and it starts to look a lot like Atkins. And this is why I think it hasn't been picked up by the broad medical community. But it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of science behind it, and that's why I use the term ancestral, to not limit ourselves to this relatively brief 1 million or 2 million years of the Paleolithic era, but to say that for 5 million years of our evolution, we were plant-based animals, then we added meat. And if we can center our diet around that plant-based with a little bit of grass, free-range meats, that our diet can really represent what we evolved to live on.
Okay, so when we come back, we'll take off a little bit more about the diet itself. So it ultimately is more plant-based versus meat. Whereas the paleo is definitely, let's be honest, most people eating paleo are eating a lot of meat. I mean, that's really what it's become. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I also want to get into some of your 5 rules of weight loss and then why you think diets fail. So stick around. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.